forgetting.
Because I didn't put it in there.
Then, by the way, when this does play, people email in and they with something along the lines of "What in the holy hell?" Blah 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 blah. This is the ringtone from Engineer Will's, right? Isn't this his ringtone? Just keep picturing some big Japanimation girl with huge eyes and like a kitten.
Oh, I miss her. Can we play her?
I have no idea which. Oh, the blah 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 song.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is anymore.
That song always makes me so happy.
I think it's gone. Hold on, let me find it. Maybe that can be the contest bed.
That is the best idea you've ever had.
Do we have who are these people? Do we have contest?
It's John on line one and Tony on line two.
All right,
so John is the first caller.
All right, let me see if I've got the. Hold on, this is 503 something, and then the deal, and I'm just looking for a terrible. It's here somewhere. Hold on.
You've got it.
I don't. It's here somewhere. No.
What?
No, wait. Ah, there we go. No, that's not it.
Oh.
Where the hell is it? I have the... I... Oh, wait. Ah!
Yeah.
There we go.
Right. I had faith in you.
It's right there. I think this might... There you go. It's 503-733-2970. We're going to let this play while I drink my coffee. Then we'll be taking the contesters. Then we'll be going to the city desk with Tim Riley, then Jen Lane. We got the top five coming up as well.
We should have asked people to sing along with this when they were standing on the bridge.
No, seriously, for the next, whenever the next listener party is, I don't know when, but man, we're going to work this in somehow. There's going to be some sort of clogging. Yeah. By which I mean dancing. Come on, that's fun. Zing! That's funny. Right there. A little more of that humor, I'll get that morning slot. All right. Are we ready? All right. This is line one is who?
John.
Ted?
John.
Ted, hello.
It's John.
Whatever. Are you ready to play for Don Rickles tickets?
Sure I am.
All right. Now, here's the thing. It is on Saturday. Are you able to go on Saturday should you win?
Absolutely.
All right. This is for a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles and Buffet at Chinook Winds. You have your choice of contest, John. You can either play When I Was a Boy, or you can play What Is That Sound? Now, I should note, by the way, in terms of full disclosure, this is not stolen as such from Don and Mike, but it is strikingly similar to a contest that Don and Mike used to run. But the sound is too good not to use, so I don't want to be that radio guy, just like lifting stuff and not giving credit. So you have your choice between Mystery Sound or When I Was a Boy. What do you choose?
Actually, I think I'll choose When I Was a Boy, since, Rick, I was a boy in the wealthy suburb of Findlay, which you know by Kennewick.
Findlay. All right, okay. And do you have, like, are you allowed to wear wear buttons on your clothing in Findlay yet, or are you still at the hook stage?
Well,
all right. Findlay's a barn-raising kind of town. All right, so that means we have to drop this here. Is this going to be the song? All right, okay. All right, so you have picked When I Was a Boy. Here is the deal. I think When I Was a Boy is not challenging enough because everybody's picking that.
Well, maybe we have to have stricter guidelines.
Make it longer.
A lot of,
and maybe we could. You can be forbidden from using the word
Oh, nobody will make that. We can't even.
It's a contest. It can't be easy. It's got to be harder because everybody's been winning it. It's not really... See, have we had anybody lose
because
this?
Because you've given tickets to other people.
I'm saying if everybody just wins, then it's no longer a contest. It's calling up in a long, circuitous, time-wasting method
already,
for giving something to you.
He already won for being caller five.
He didn't win anything. He won the chance to compete. I'm sorry, John. You don't have anything to do, are you? You don't mind that we sit here and discuss the contest machinations? I'm saying...
I'm just a listener. I'll do what I'm told.
Excellent. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
I saw the power flash.
Where's my bullhorn? All I'm saying is that if you call up and you're caller number five, you don't win the tickets. You win the chance to compete for tickets. I'm saying the contest should be a little stricter. So you can't say, is the new rule. All right. Because I am a good Christian, here's what I will do. I am revising the rules ever so slightly on When I Was a Boy. You must still only talk for 60 seconds, but you are not allowed to say or any word that I determine to be a variation on
but.
I'm not playing. But because I have changed the rules, I will let you reselect if you wish. You may now change your selection if you want and choose Mystery Sound instead. So I will now once again give you the choice. You may either play Mystery Sound, or you may play When I Was a Boy, the new U-less version.
Despite all of that runaround, I think I'll still do When I Was a Boy.
All right.
All right. Sarah, would you like to choose the category, or should I? I've been choosing the categories a lot recently.
Well, I'd kind of like to hear another person. Should I tell you before?
Yeah, I'm going to turn it. Okay, hold on. I'm going to turn up the microphones here. Okay, that's good. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's gripping radio. I can hear
most
the share going up.
Yeah, most of the shows happen off the air. So
yeah, good times. All right, are you ready, John?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's the deal. You were about to play When I Was a Boy. I will give you the signal. At the signal, you must freestyle verbally. You must give us 60 seconds, a 60-second monologue about when you were a boy. And I will give you the subject as we begin, and you are not allowed to say, Are you ready?
Yes.
That's your last, You can no more of those. All right. The subject,
good luck, John.
The subject for When I Was a Boy is clothing. 3, 2, 1, begin.
When I was a boy, I grew up in a rich town called Findlay, Washington. My parents made our clothing, and my mother fashioned those clothing out of what she could see in the Penny's catalog. It was really wonderful to go to Findlay Elementary School with striped pants and a zipper that didn't quite zip all the way up. Usually that zipper would last throughout the day, but not always. The best part of having those clothes was not only did I get my own clothes made for me, but I had to wear the hand-me-down clothes that my brothers and at least one older sister...
I heard an
Nope.
Hold on. We had to bleep that there. We had to bleep that. I believe I heard an just now.
I think he said, and a shirt. He was referring to a singular shirt.
I'm pretty sure I heard
he didn't say
he said a clothing article, but...
He did say a clothing article.
All right,
he
fine.
Had a good flow.
All
too.
Right, fine. Okay, well, you were at 30, though. So continue the other 30 seconds now.
The best part of having the clothes made by my mother was that she usually fashioned those things out of what she thought was cool, and we never had any say over it. One time I had a pair of pants made out of...
Bacon grease.
Out of, all right,
I blew it. Oh, and I'm not taking the blame for that either. I swear to God, you said earlier.
He was on a roll.
The best part was
on a roll, and he threw me off the first.
Oh, please, I think you should let him do the mystery sound.
I said and then he swore in response, and I had to bleep him.
But he didn't say in the first place.
He totally
said. I should get a 30-second handicap being from Finley.
You are handicapped being from Findlay, brother.
But did you hear his story? He had clothes made out of curtains that were hand-me-downs from his sister.
At least gave him one ticket.
Where did my drapes go? Here are your new pants. Okay, wait.
We did the mystery sound for him.
I don't even know what the hell we're doing anymore. Okay.
It's hot in here.
All the hot water's out of my apartment. I'll have to use your shower.
We can give him one ticket and up him the second one at half price.
Okay. That doesn't make any sense. Here's what we're... Okay, we're going to... Kristen Bowie is here. She's stepping into the studio. She's going to be filling in for Sarah next week while Sarah is gallivanting around the East Coast. No pressure, but we're going to throw it now. Sarah's going to be gone. Kristen's going to be here. We're going to... it is sort of a trial by fire. We're going to let you make the judgment call here. Do you believe that the issues are cloudy enough for John to be given a crack at the mystery noise? Or do you believe we should cut and go to the next guy?
I think you should concede, Rick.
Oh, concede what?
He said, article. I heard it. I promise.
Yep.
Yeah, but he still didn't finish the last half of it.
No, but that was mean, too, because he had a total flow, and you completely messed it up.
Thank
Tim?
You. I agree.
I agree with the ladies.
All right. Fine. Sons of bitches. All right,
you
fine.
You just don't want to let go of your mystery sound. He has been hoarding this mystery sound. For like 2 months.
At the risk of sounding like a serial apologist, here's the thing. I have given full credit to the fact. It's not that I lifted the bit from Donna Mike, and it's not like I said, that's a great bit. I got to steal it. What noise can I use? Sarah was actually the witness here. I found the noise first. I found the noise, and I was like, this is the best noise ever. I have to do something with it. I'll have people identify it. And then I realized that it's a thing they do. But you know what? It's like Marky Ramone said yesterday, the songs are too good not to play. The sound is too good not to use. But I've been thwarted in every attempt to use it. So that's fine. I'm not bitter about it. All right, John, fine. So you have won a pair of tickets to see Don Rickles plus buffet at Chinook Winds on Saturday. And so there you go. So I'm going to put you on hold. They're going to get your name and all of that. You got to pick up the tickets at the KUFO building, which is at 2040 Southwest First. So hang on. We'll get back to you. There you go. Thank you, John.
Okay.
All right, there you go. All right, fine. I want you to know that I can I ceded to the whim and the will of the group. All right, 503. Tomorrow I'm doing the mystery sound thing. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm doing it. And then we got stuff to give away next week, too. We got stuff to give away next week. And then we got, I swear to God, we have sumo wrestling tickets we're going to be giving away later on in the month. And there's going to be sumo wrestlers here in the studio. It's completely true. I think while you're gone, actually. I think while you're gone, we actually have two, and they're like the real deal. Like the Asian sumo, and they throw rice, and then they salt, and then they do something or other.
There's how are they going to fit in here? It's so tiny.
I don't know.
Well, they can fit one leg each through the door, and the rest of them can see in the hallway.
Anyway, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Oh. So-
of the Coin Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Our top story. The president.
Our top story.
The president is showing his pride over the bloated corpse, I should say, of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi.
Oh, yeah, Mike, you can turn my computer back up.
And only last week he released an audio tape attacking Iraq's elected leaders and denouncing those advocating the end of sectarianism. Now Zarqawi has met his end.
In the birthday.
And this violent man will never murder again.
Speaking to his cabinet, since nobody else will listen, Blair comments on the bloated corpse of al-Zarqawi.
The death of al-Zarqawi is a strike against al-Qaeda in Iraq, and therefore a strike against al-Qaeda everywhere.
John McCain, why don't you say a thing or two about this?
This is John McCain.
His ultimate goal was the destruction of America, the West, and everything we believe in. So this is not just a victory for the Iraqi people. It's in stark terms, it's a victory of the forces of good versus evil.
Donald Rumsfeld is very cautious about choosing his words carefully about this one.
The death of Zarqawi, while enormously important, will not mean the end of all violence in that country, and one ought not to take it as such.
I'm glad he clarified that, because I was under the impression it was all going to be like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm over there.
No, no, time to get the banners out again. We can accomplish.
It's all going to be sunshine and roses. Mm-hmm. All right, excellent. There you go.
Time for a corpse watch.
Here's your corpse watch.
It's a different corpse.
For Thursday.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Consuming things that's better left alone. But I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone. Digging up bones.
This is about Australian corpses. There's a tap in a place for everything. Local Australian governments have ruled as they move to stop brothels opening their cemeteries. Local governments in the northern state of Queensland have called on state authorities to establish an exclusion zone banning brothels opening within 220 yards of cemeteries. Ipswich Mayor Paul Fasali told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that cemeteries were places of quiet reflection of families who should not be put out with a brothel going on next door. It's totally inappropriate. There's no place for brothels and the place for cemeteries.
This is a speaking
can
of which...
believe the two don't mix?
All
the problems going on in the world.
It's apparently we are not the only country that is a little misguided in the problems we are choosing to address this week. By the way, I have to tell you, just as a side note to this, I was having a conversation with somebody last night, and this is somebody who's incredibly right-wing, and we are not the only people to making the observation about the misguided aims of Congress this week, and not even the only continents. It's apparently Australia's now. Apparently Australia's doing this as well. And I got a bunch of emails from Luke where is Luke? Do we ever determine where in Australia? Is it Melbourne?
I think so.
Melbourne, Luke and what's his name? Luke and Mark? whatever his drunken pal. So apparently, I'm waiting to track down Horns Across the whatever they've got there in Australia photos from those guys. We did get pictures from Seattle.
Okay.
And I did get pictures from New Mexico. Apparently, they did do Horns Across the Gila in New Mexico, and that guy Michael did do Horns Across Pike Place, whatever Pike Market, Pike Street Place. That thing.
That
he's
fish
there. The fish place. Yeah. So he got those as well. So we're going to be posting all of those. As of last night, I had gotten, I'm just saying, from the people, I had gotten about 150 of those Horns Across the Hawthorne photos. And the kind of the definitive one so far that was just taken by people who were there was that one that our friend Stephen took, which is all of the people, you can sort of see them going into the distance, and then there's that devil horn sign right there, which is genius, by the way. It's among the best things I've ever seen. We did see, and I'm going to keep saying this, we did see a proof today, a sort of initial shot from Jason Crump, who is down on the river taking those. And it is just, it's fantastic. It really is just beautiful beyond words. It is great. So I'm not trying to dangle it in front of you, but we're waiting until they're all developed, because he's got a whole other roll of film he's got to do. And so probably within a couple days, maybe by Monday at the latest, I think, we will have the official photograph up and posted. And if the initial shots we've seen are any indication, it's going to be like the best thing in the history of anything. So there you go. So there's your corpse watch, by the way, right here for Thursday in the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm digging up bones, exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones.
Wait, so you don't have to work tomorrow. Why was today your last day at Coin if it's Thursday?
Because my flight was initially going to leave tomorrow, when I had already asked for the time off.
Oh, I see. And so, okay, so you wanted to be well-rested here.
It's a celebration of a change of life.
Well, plus I'm going to go... Well, yeah, so I thought I was doing...
Are we opening the windows everywhere now?
Well, then my flight got changed, and then I'm going to a show tonight.
Like a breath of fresh air.
Are you going to be valuing your new freedom to be out every night?
Well, that's going to actually mark the return of Band-Aid, because I'll actually be able to go to shows again.
Now, we do have to give you a little bit of some props, as the people say, because you have held it together amazingly well for having to get up at 3:30 every goddamn morning to go off and to look perky on camera, on command, by the way, and then to have to come in here and listen to our gibberish and nonsense for 3 hours every day. So
I think our gibberish and nonsense is preferable to anything else.
Not everyone is in agreement. No, you have done it. You have done a fantastic job, though, of holding it together.
Yep. And I'm very excited to start this new chapter in my life where I get to have a social life again.
So you don't have to get up till like 10:30 now.
No.
It's on to the next professional challenge.
The best part, by the way, and it really is true that most of today's program is taking place with the microphones turned off. It is. And you know what it is? And I don't mean to make a Kristen, who is going to be filling in for Sarah next week, feel self-conscious. But we operate in a sort of hermetically sealed bubble of a show. And it's more me than Sarah and Tim. But I'm very much a creature of habit and routine, as Sarah can tell you. And as soon as anything is different or altered or changed, as soon as there is any new element introduced to the show in any way, immediately everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Because I just...
Well, that could happen on a normal day as well.
Hey, you work for a wacky rock and roll station. There ought to be a zany female DJ named Helena Handbasket.
Oh, that is awesome.
Write that down. Send no money. That idea is yours. You just pass that along to Hacksaw, or whoever it is you work with over there.
The Ronk called me Helen Wheels.
Helen Wheels. I worked with a Helen Wheels. I worked with a Helen Wheels. I worked with a Helen... Helen Power, that's not really as good, I guess. But there was, Helena Handbasket.
Awesome.
All right, there you go. You take that over there. See, if not, this is your time in the Rick Emerson Show has already, it's been worth your while already. Worth its weight in gold. All right. This email says, damn, without Sarah on the traffic reports each morning, I'll have to pay attention to my child. Oh, well, I hated sitting through the eerie freakishness of the other anchors anyway. What's up with the gray-haired guy? How about that weatherman? What's his problem? I'm shivering just thinking about him. Signed, it's some guy. Let's see. Rick, did Sarah just say... no, please to be clarifying, he says, what did Sarah... Take another running start at this here. Rick, what did Sarah just say? Please to be explaining. It was something like, quote, back when I had my blank pierced. It sounded...
What?
You, okay, this is from Todd the Corpse. He wouldn't be making, this is Todd the Todd the Corpse would not be,
come on.
He would not be
on.
Making
something. Misunderstood.
Have you been saying, do you remember me saying anything about anything being pierced? Oh, my labrae. Yeah.
Okay, see, because he said it started with the letters L-A-B. Please tell me I misunderstood.
Yeah, it's that space right in between your lip and your chin.
Okay. He said it also ended with I-A. So, please, to be explaining, she said it very casually. I'm sure I heard wrong.
It spelled like labret.
And that is what?
It's right here. I still have a little scar.
Oh, okay. It is. Labret is one of those things. It's like uvula. It sounds like it's something that it's not.
It's French.
It's a thing. No, it's like, you know, when they go, when I went to the dentist, and the dentist is like, well, you have a slight abrasion on your uvula. And it's like, you just wonder what the hell kind of dentist you've gone to. And
no, I hope it's not.
Keep waiting for the glove to be, you know, to come out. It's like the other day, it was like, that story the other day about to take a left on Sepulveda, and you have no idea what you're even dealing with.
It looks
like
Sepulveda. It's a major street.
Don't cry for me, Sepulveda. This whole day is just a disaster. You know why? It's not just, I don't want Kristen to take the brunt of this. It's not just because Tim Savage was here last week. He was like here last Friday in the studio. And of course, so that whole day was just shot all the crap before it even started. Because there was so many. But it's because of the Horns Across the Hawthorne thing that we all thought yesterday was Friday. Because all of our events, all of our listener parties, everything we do, they all take place on a Thursday. And so the day after, it's like my body clock is like day after an event. It's Friday. So today, it's Saturday to me, which is why today is just one big, huge, flaming cartwheel of doom here on the air. Rick, now that Sarah no longer has to worry about her on-air image, will she finally be stripping? Got to strike while the iron is hot. Let her know my dollar bills are ready. Here is hoping, says Michael. Yes, Kristen, you too will receive this love from the Rick Emerson audience. Let's do one more. Tim Riley, we'll break. We'll come back with Jen Lane, who is here in her Lou Reed shirt. Which I love. And that's a vintage Lou Reed shirt. That's not one of those Hot Topic Lou Reed shirts.
Well, yeah, what are those chicks from Dixie up to? They're settled with number one with no thanks to country radio.
What? Who's number one?
Dixie Chicks.
No, that's not possible. What are they number one with?
Well, their second straight week, as a matter of fact. The Dixie Chicks post-incident album, Taking the Long Way, ruled the roost at number one.
No, you know, that's not possible. You know why it's not possible, Tim Riley?
Why is that?
Because they weren't played by country radio, and I was to understand.
Oh, you don't need that.
No, I was told that the power of country radio was so massive and gigantic that they could make or break an artist. I was told that country radio determined what was popular and what was not, and without playing that song, that no one wanted it.
Well, I think you received the wrong information.
No, I was told by the highest of authorities that song was not being played. And by the way, we should be very careful to clarify here that the Dixie Chicks song, Not Ready to Make Nice, it wasn't being overlooked because of the content.
No.
That would
oh,
be...
no.
No, they don't... No one believes in censorship. That
it,
would
it
be...
because of our artistic merit.
That would be un-American. It's apparently because there's nothing on the record worth listening to. None of the songs are interesting. No one wants to hear it.
It has been decided for the general public that is so.
Apparently the public has no interest in the new Dixie Chicks records.
They believe what they're told. They follow like sheep to a slaughter.
Apparently no one is curious about what the songs sound like. No one is certainly hearing the record and deciding that it's good and telling their friends. We know that because country radio isn't playing it, and so therefore it's impossible that record would be number one for 2 weeks in a row. It simply cannot be. I will not accept it.
Well, you better learn, because it sold 799,000 copies.
No.
Just 1,000 shy of the Red Hot Chili Peppers 4-week tally for Stadium Arcadium.
I'm rejecting that story as implausible.
Right.
And by the way, I'd like to thank you for not saying that the Chicks continue to rule the roost.
Oh, no, that would be silly of me.
All right.
I'm not a morning show person.
That would be stupid and pandering.
I was for a while during Imus, but nobody heard it. People thought I just vanished. No, I'm on Imus.
Well, that
I'm a newsman on Imus.
No, I got an email yesterday.
Oh, we're sorry to hear that you're out of work. I'm on Imus.
I got an email yesterday. I mean, look, not to be bragging about us, but we had 370 people now, we think, that were at the Horns Across the Hawthorne yesterday in an email. Dear Rick, when will you be back on the air? I miss you every day. I've not been able to. Please to advise when you will return to the Portland airwaves. All right. Is that our one more?
Yeah, that was it.
All
you get.
You get nothing and like it. All right. Let's break now. We'll come back. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. We'll do the top five as well. Best show ever. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. Back after this, it's Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Oh, yeah. Solid State Radio. You stay right there. And if you want to be continues. Can we get our colons cleansed again? You know, I know now why people find you sexy. All right. What?
I'd like some cleansing.
Please, sir. May I have? Okay. It's moving on. It's 503-733-2970. No, we were just having this conversation. We're having a, it was a business lunch. We can call it that, right?
Sure.
So yesterday, Sarah and Tim and myself, we were having lunch with the general manager and talking about the blah, 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 the direction of the station, you know, the future and onward and upward and whatever. And we were talking about how there's, I think it's KNX, it's one of the other CBS radio stations, but they're doing this kind of thing. It's like a webisode kind of a thing or whatever, where you go to their website and it's like, and they will show you, like the 5 minutes after the show is done. Like, they'll put that on the website, or the 5 minutes before the show. And I think that's a fantastic idea.
Like Oprah after the show?
That's totally what it is, yeah. Except it's just like 5 minutes, and they don't have Sarah talking about her colon. it's 503-733-2. 970. Thank you for coming along. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
I love this song. You know, here's how great this song is. By the way, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, how are you?
I'm well.
Looking beautiful as always.
Thank you, Rick.
Here's the thing about this song. This song is so great. That I don't even mind, like, that 9-minute version that's on most of his records, where it's like, that don't matter none to me as long as I got my rent.
I love that song.
I love George Thorogood. Anybody who doesn't like George Thorogood, they can bite it long and hard, because it doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
I concur.
So, how are things? Thank you for coming to Horns Across the Hawthorne. How great was that?
That was awesome. It was great.
It's one of those things that, and again, I'm not fishing for compliments, but you never know.
It was awesome. I was totally impressed. Listeners were great, as always.
Very surreal and abstract concept to get across.
I thought it was cool to see so many kids there, you know, like high schoolers that, you know, because normally the party's only 21 and up, you know,
yeah.
So.
No, it's like you said, it's so great. It's, I'm heartened by the young people.
Did you lure them from MySpace?
No, yes. Yeah, I just put up a picture of like
trolling for skank on the old MySpace.
Trolling for skank on the old MySpace. That's going to be that'll be one of the country western songs of this generation that future people listen to.
Well, you've heard the punk group song, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, wait, no. Which one are you talking about?
MySpace is good for getting... Can you say that on the air?
Probably not. If you have to ask, the answer...
If it rhymes with paid, but starts with an L.
For getting laid? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, you can say I thought you were going to was going to rhyme with something else. But anyway, it was really great. And again, not just be all about the glory of us, but I mean, it's like we were like, well, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be, you know, like two people, or there's going to be a lot. And I mean, and thankfully, it was very cool. And even those shots early on of us practicing the devil horns in the park. And then, I mean, and just the TriMet buses were going by. I saw at least one TriMet driver give us the devil horns and honk, uh-huh. Which is genius and fantastic. The radio cab loves us, mm-hmm. And we love them. And the radio cab, we saw some of those guys going by. The cops, there was one cop car that drove by. I didn't see this, but I had a few listeners. A cop car drove by, and they did the slow-rolling devil horns, uh-huh. In the car, which is great. And the bike cops were great. They were totally cool with everything. So it was a fantastic time.
I liked that. What's his name? The engineer, Sean?
Sean, yes.
Yeah, roller skating up and down. Like
Sean, you know, and his roller skates that make him like 80 feet tall.
Well, he's a ref in the derby.
Yeah.
Now, is it... Now, somebody told
That's
me...
That's a Saturday, right?
Is it true that there are roller derby girls waiting over there in the engineering room to come in?
There are.
Fantastic.
I know, they're so cool. I'm a little intimidated.
Yeah.
Tryouts are next week, but I'm going
to
be gone.
Now, we'll see. You don't have to look good for TV anymore. You can lose a tooth or two.
I know.
You can't, because you went to see the roller derby, a couple weeks ago?
I know, and I left there being like, I want to be one of those girls.
And Sean was like, if you're going to stay on television, you don't want to be... Although those girls...
Can you roller skate?
Yeah.
No, I can't go back. I've never been able to backwards skate.
I don't think it's the roller skating. I think it's the getting an elbow in the eye kind of a thing. Those girls didn't seem to have any visible scars or anything, though. So I mean,
no, that's actually what I said to them, and it was really awkward. I'm like, you guys look well put together. And they kind of looked at me strange.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you figure they'd be all stitched up and limping and whatnot.
They look totally fine.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, we're probably not going to... Let's see. Here's what we got. We got the adrenaline here. We have the top five to do. I got to get one of those done. And then we're going to talk to these is it Rose City Rollers? Is that what they're called? Is that a team or is that the name
of
the whole league?
That's the name of the league.
All right. And do we know what team they're from?
I think maybe the Breakneck Betties.
I don't know. They're just hot chicks who punch other hot chicks. That's all I care about. It doesn't matter. Like it's all about the artistic merit or whatever. So we should do the top five first. My question to you, Jen Lane, is I'm going to give you two top fives. You're going to pick which one because they've both been sitting here. Yesterday we interviewed Marky Ramon, who was great, by the way.
Yeah, that was a really good interview.
Man, the guy was so cool. He was so fantastic. So we have either the top five Ramon songs on which Marky Ramon played, or I have Condoleezza Rice's top five songs of all time.
Condoleezza Rice's top five songs of all time.
All right. We got to get Tim Riley in here then. Tim Riley, if you can please to be entering the studio. We will count these down. I gotta find the actual list here. Hold on. While Tim is entering the studio, I'll be finding the list. Unless you think we're being like wacky or cool, these should be in there, by the way.
Okay.
These should be in there. They're gonna be a little loud though, so you wanna make them potted down. These should be in there.
Alright, tell me what the first one is.
It is,
Do you wanna tell me?
Here, I'll turn the mics off for just a second here. That's what the first one should be, just to make sure. Yeah, she's keeping it trill, just like they do over at Kink. Is that not what that is? Hold on. Yeah, that's totally what that is. All right, is Tim Riley, is he even here?
I think he might have left.
Okay. All right. She's going to give him another three, two. Okay.
Why don't we have Jen Lane read it?
No, I tried to get her to read the top five, and you resisted last time.
But it's about coffee.
I could do it today.
Yeah. Her eyes. Okay, you got.
Because I say no once doesn't mean I won't say yes another time, Rick.
I'm afraid of girls. And, all right, would you like to read this as yourself or as... Oh, wait, no, and of course, here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Hi, would you...
What am I doing here?
Five.
Thank you.
Four,
here's the top five.
Three,
for,
two, one, fire.
We're making a terrible impression on the thing.
Our king is wonderful.
Seriously, Christian's going to go back and report that we are like the worst radio program, which is true, incidentally. It's one of our charms. We have a certain unpolished beauty, Christian.
Well, she may be a Hellcat in high heels, but who am I talking about here? Oh, Condoleezza Rice has a sensitive side as well. A side that likes puppies, rainbows, and yes, indeed, music. These are Condoleezza Rice's top five favorite musical acts of all time.
And this is real, by the way. Yeah. Tim Riley found the story, the Associated Press, because all other problems in the world have been solved. They were digging into Condoleezza Rice's iPod to discover what she listens to. These are Condoleezza Rice's top five favorite songs of all time.
With honorable mention going to Brahms' Piano Concerto No. 2. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you.
She dances for him to this.
And the momentum of the show ends...
Can we stop playing this?
Now. No, I'm just trying to... I mean...
We've got to bring culture to those savages in the Middle East. We should drop this CD from... Jet fighters.
Every time we talk about Condoleezza Rice, I just picture her in that long black leather overcoat paddling someone. That doesn't really mesh with this.
This is after that.
This reminds me of that sequence in Seven where Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman are in the library and the guys are playing poker and they're reading Dante's Inferno. We're counting down. This kind of music makes me feel dumb. You know what I mean? All right,
this is music for smart people.
It's really what I'm talking about. Not so much for me. These are Condoleezza Rice's top favorite music songs of all time.
Number five, U2. I still haven't found what I am looking for.
See, this makes total sense. This list was put together by a PR person, by the way. Speaking of Relatable Thursday, it is Relatable Thursday. This was a whole lot of how can we make people in like the blue states love Condoleezza Rice. I know. We'll find the least interesting alternative act we can possibly dig up, and we'll claim that she loves them.
I'm surprised there's not a mini Pearl song in here.
Seriously. Something with the Rugrats. We should check off how many demographics they're pandering to with this list. We've already got the NPR classical people. Here we go, the 34-year-old soccer moms. All right, next. These are Condoleezza Rice's top five favorite songs of all time.
At number four, Kool & the Gang with Celebrate Good Times.
Seriously.
Oh.
Come on, in the name of sweet God Almighty, is there anyone left on earth that doesn't hate this song? I was tired of this when I was 10, and they played at the skating rink.
Oh, don't do it. They're going to appear somewhere locally and have a big bind on this station. You know what's going to happen?
Seriously. No. These guys are going to be coming to a casino near you.
You're going to be giving away tickets next week.
Ah, you know,
eating
whatever.
These words.
Everybody's apparently into it. Apparently. Yeah. Okay. This song makes me want to stab out my own eyes with something sharp and rust-covered. Like that show, The Hills, on MTV. Have you watched that?
No.
Oh, went home last night. My wife is on the couch.
That's LC, isn't it?
My wife is on the couch watching The Hills. It makes me want to. Watching that show makes me want to die in a fire. We're counting down Condoleezza Rice's top five songs of all time.
Okay, all you Southern Americans, we have Aretha Franklin with Respect It, number three.
It's like Condoleezza Rice went into my brain, into the file marked crap I never need to hear again.
I don't think she's a very creative individual.
It's because she's sassy. Why you go? And so forth.
I can kind of picture Condi karaokeing this.
Cutting loose at one of those White House press festivals. I can't even tell if this song's good anymore. It's like Satisfaction by the Stones. I don't even know. Alright. Counting down Condoleezza Rice. I regret putting this whole thing together. Counting down Condoleezza Rice's top five favorite songs of all time.
At number two, it's Cream with the Sunshine of Your Love.
I call BS on that.
I don't believe this one. No, I'm sorry.
There is no way that this is on Condoleezza Rice. All right, let's end this now. Let's move on. Condoleezza Rice.
Number one.
Thank you.
And I believe this one. Mozart with Piano Concerto number 20 in D minor.
I could totally see this as she and Hannibal Lecter are sitting in a cell somewhere together. Figuring out which organ to eat first. Mind the drawings, please.
They played this in the bunker.
As you're sitting there playing Risk with Donald Rumsfeld.
They're planning to take their cyanide pills.
as they're in the bunker together, figuring out what to do if the Allies get there before the wedding. All right, there you go. There's your top five. Jen Lane is here. All right. Thank you, Tim Riley. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is here. So, yeah. All right, there you go. Sponge that whole thing out of our head. So what do you got now? You got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. You have the, is it the Family Feud?
Well, we just finished our big anniversary party.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
That was fun.
A big success.
I was there. It was great. Genius. Awkward at moments. Awkward at times.
Oh, we never did talk about
that. You're always awkward at times.
No, it's.
I mean, all times are awkward for you.
It was with an ex-coworker that he's a little shy around.
We can tell this now. We can tell because I don't want to be the whole show of things that are off the air. This is a three-part story, which I will tell very quickly in like 20 seconds. About a year and a half ago, when we were still at Entercom, when Entercom were still believers in the Emerson brand, I had this dream that I was engaged. It wasn't even a sex dream. I had a dream that I was making out with a female coworker in
a
phone booth.
And for a while, it might have been me, but it wasn't.
No, it was a female coworker. It was somebody I worked with, which is why at the time I never said who it was. And, of course, because everything in my head is basically like...
Jamie was at the party.
Yes, a hack derivation of some movie I've seen.
Yeah, let's get this.
Cameron Crowe clearly was the one behind the dream because we were in the, it was in the rain, of course. You know, so I didn't want to say it wasn't. Everybody assumed it was Daria. Just because Daria and I kind of know each other a little bit and whatever. And it, but if it wasn't, it was Jamie Cooley from KNRK. And I didn't reveal that while I was there because, you know, that's going to be old. Because then, you know, you're going to be in the break room together and that's all going to go, you know, that's all going to go. That's going to end in a deposition one way or the other. And so I, once we came over here, I admitted, I said that it was Jamie Cooley. You know, don't think anything else about it. Flash forward to last week at the Barfly anniversary party. Walk in, da da da. Boy, I'm glad this is. I'm not gonna be socially awkward this time. I'm gonna be turn around, Jamie Cooley, right in front of me.
But at some point in time, it got misconstrued to where you didn't have a dream about her. You actually had a crush on her.
Yeah, that's and somewhere in the telephone game of communication, it got to her that I was deeply in love with her.
Yeah.
And that I had a crush. Not just that I had the one fleeting, if pleasant, dream that we were making out of the phone booth. But I'm not going to lie. And then she's there, and she's all, so, how are you? And I'm just all like, I don't know. And and immediately I become 12 again in front of the cable box, trying to get the porn to come in and, you know, just trying to get the squiggles to go away. And it's all terribly awkward. And you know, she was very gracious about it. She said, you know, it's very flattering. And which is what women say. Saying when women say that's very flattering when they find out that you've had that dream, that is code for, I would never, ever, ever sleep with you, by the way, but thank you for the ego boost. I'm being polite to spare your feelings, you puny man. So she was very nice, but clearly it was not an auspicious moment for me. And then I just sort of scuttled away, my voice cracking. So there you go. So that was lots of fun, but it was a great time. There was a huge turnout, so congratulations.
Thanks.
On another fantastic Barfly party. I'm feeling all awkward now, even retelling the story. So, but you got, what's coming up with you?
Let's see, our next event is Saturday, June 17th. We've got the Stripperama bus. There's only 4 tickets left. So if you want tickets, get them now.
Barflymag.com.
Yeah, barflymag.com. And then we've got our annual Bears versus Queens Dysfunctional Family Feud on Monday the 19th at the Ash Street from 6 to 9.
Excellent. And is the Stripperama, do people know in advance where you're going?
The bars know where we're.
But I mean, the people on the bus
expect us. But no, it's a blind bus tour.
You've gone on that, haven't you, sir?
I have.
Yeah. Well, do you know where you remember? Do you remember where you went?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We went to a plethora. We went to we went up in Delta Park. I remember we went to the something with a bear, the dancing bear.
Dancing bear. Yeah, that's all about.
Yeah,
class.
All these really cool ones. So it went from like classy to trashy to classy to trashy.
No, my sister used to live right next door to the dancing bear.
I like to show the full spectrum.
Yeah,
of
it's pretty cool.
Really,
so people
is,
people ask about strip clubs, and I've been to most of them in Portland.
Yeah, dancing bear. It was like a lot of girls with glass eyes, you know, and like
they had those weird pool tables, like the married pool table. It's,
Yeah. No, I have a neighbor who dances at Mary's. So it's like that's like another place I can never go. It's a place I can never return to, because that would just be awkward to like the tenth power. So all right. Well, we got speaking of girls, and do you realize that are there roller derby girls that they're going to come in?
Yeah, they're not on roller skates, but they're here.
They're not on roller skates. So I will then be in a room with 5 girls. So at some point, you may actually just hear, like, a big vein pop in my forehead, and I'll just be dead. Should we do that now, or should we break first?
Sure, let's do that now.
All right.
Sean
Couples. Wait, do I have a... hold on. There's probably some noise I can use to summon him. Wait.
We built this Starbucks!
Oh.
I'm sorry?
He's down by your office. I'll go find him.
All right, thank you. All right. So we'll just sit here.
Yeah.
Anybody heard any good jokes lately? Or,
none that are appropriate for air.
So, yeah. It was raining that one day.
How goes?
Oh, hi. Sean Couples joins us now. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself, right?
I'm fine. All right. So, Sean Couples, you are involved. Is it Rosity Rollers? That's the name of the whole league?
Yes. Rosity Rollers is the name of the league.
And you do what? You are a referee? You are a thing? You do something?
I am a referee for the Rosity Rollers.
All right. You skate super fast around the track.
You can skate back. Is it true? Let me ask you this. Is it true that you at one time skated to work? And we are downtown in Portland, by the way. Is it true that you roller skated to and from work And you lived at the time in Vancouver?
I still live in Vancouver.
Now, how is it possible that you would roller skate to and from work?
Well, I go through downtown Vancouver, over the I-5 bridge, through Jansen Beach, cut over and go down in front of Freightliner, down the middle of the street because there's no good bike paths.
Why would you do it? Were you being punished for something? Why would you do that?
You're one of those people who only run when chased, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm only saying it seems like a bit of a hike. It seems like a long distance.
It was like 15 minutes longer than driving during rush hour.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. And it seems dangerous in some way. All right. So now what did... Who are the women who are now joining us on the studio?
Well, we have Trixie Fairline from the High Rollers and John Astey from Guns N' Rollers.
Okay. And so... This is, so the, Sarah, would you like to help me out here? Because it's one of those...
I don't know. I'm just as nervous as you are.
It's one of those moments where my vocabulary has plummeted to two or three words of one syllable each.
There's just no need to be worried.
Now, see, and both...
We're not intimidating.
Seriously, both of these women could pick me up and break me over their knees.
It'd be fun.
Well, no, not that I would not enjoy that, I suppose.
Energy for Saturday.
All right. Sarah, would you like to help me with the what celebrity do these women most closely resemble contest?
No. I have no idea.
All right, and I'm afraid to pick the wrong celebrity for fear that it'll end with, like, a fist in my face.
They're both just good-looking, normal Portland girls.
Seriously,
gorgeous, sexy.
Hot stuff. Very sexy.
You look like that one celebrity who's beautiful and flawless in every way. What was her name? Yeah. All right, so you are, what is it, roller derby-ettes, queens, players? What do you, is there a name?
Derby girls.
Roller derby girls?
That works.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Derby girls works.
Now, I have roller derby... That's me again leaning on my microphone button. Roller derby is one of those things that I've only seen like in bad movies from the 70s. I've never seen it in person. Sarah, you went to see it, though.
I did.
And is it, I mean, you always hear about how violent it is, but is it really? Is
yeah.
This, for people who have never seen it like myself, is it actually very, very...
Well, 3 bouts ago, I took Trixie Fairlane down because she was sucker blocking me all night long. So I got her down and we accidentally started a little bit of a ruckus at halftime. But
little brawl.
It was,
only both of our teams
we're all good
were involved.
Friends off the track, but once we get on there, yes, it's violent and yes, it's real.
And this is like a lot of these swinging elbows and the knees. And these people who
there's a lot of shoving and a lot of girls, like literally flying off the track into the crowd.
Yeah. Really?
Now just the panty noses. Shots too.
What's that?
Panty shots. Yeah, lots of. You see lots of.
Is that?
No, you see lots of.
Is that something you serve afterward or?
Potentially.
Okay, I.
Speechless, huh?
Where's that Dungeons and Dragons game again? I fit in there. I fit in so well there. People get injured? I mean, is this a thing where you could, can you like lose a tooth or something doing this?
Yeah. The last game, one of the gals on my team, Plow King, got a chunk of skate in her nose.
A chunk of skate?
And ended up in the emergency room getting stitches.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
No.
A chunk of skate is fantastic. Is that like a gaggle of geese or something?
Exactly.
All right. And so how long have you guys been doing this?
I've been doing it almost 2 years.
Yeah, the league started in August 2004, and I think both of us started out with the league. I took a little break, and then I've been doing it for a year and a half, and you've been doing it for most of the time.
No, I mean, and it's just, and it is, I know I'll get flack from the audience about this, but to describe it, but you're very attractive. You got, and I don't think this is, you'd have a problem with it. You got kind of a suicide girl look, sort of, you know? Is that... Oh, fine, sorry. Here comes the ass beating.
Well, no, I mean, everybody kind of has their different looks. I mean, definitely, we're both supporting.
Everybody with the tattoo, the piercing, you know.
Well, that happened way before roller derby.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to paint a picture for the
there's
people.
There's also moms on the leagues. So
really?
Professional women.
That's pretty sexy.
It's a gamut of women. In
you guys get a good turnout, too. There's a lot of people come out. Is the crowd just crazy? Is the crowd nuts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have some really great fans. We've had really good luck with them. All positive supporters, really wild. They're really into the competition now that we're into the fourth bout in our season. So there's more. I'm very tall.
Yeah, really. It's true.
There's more competition going on. We're playing teams for the second time. So the season has started, and we have standings, and we have more rivalries and things like that. So it's a lot more exciting to see.
All right. So if people, we're kind of short on time here, but if people want to find out more, if they want to go see this, they want to get tickets, they want to do whatever, what's the best thing to do?
We are out and about selling tickets like crazy for the next couple of days. You can go to our website, RoseCityRollers.com.
You have to do a calendar. Is there like some sort of a...
It's in the works.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Also, some of the ladies from the High Rollers will be at Captain
Ankeny's at 4:30 tonight with tickets.
Will you just be pummeling people or just...
Well, we might trip you if you...
If you don't buy a ticket. We're going to trip you if you don't buy a ticket.
Do you guys get a lot of groupies, like dudes just standing around outside the door? Like,
we've had a lot of good luck, but, you know, our after party is at Sabala's, and they've been promoting a lot of things for the Roller Girls. And, you know, when they put on the marquee, Roller Girls are going to be here. We do get a pretty good turnout, and we do need people to support us for this bout.
And RoseCityRollers.com.
RoseCityRollers.com. All of our tickets through Tickets West or your favorite roller girl right now. But Saturday's going to be a hoot. We need you to come out and check
it out. And we'll
have
tickets for the July 8th bout on Saturday.
Excellent.
For sale.
See, we always mocked Sean for being a roller skater, but now it's all coming to
no
start.
No way. Sean and the other, you know, few men in our league, they get to hang out with 100 women 3 times a week.
Seriously,
why
no.
They
want
to do that?
I'm now seeing what lies behind this now, Sean. There's now a method to this. All right. We got to take a break. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it. We'll be back with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Stay there. We continue next. Don't go anywhere. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. All right. I think I held my own pretty well there. I think I sounded good.
Sure you did.
I don't think they could see the terror in my eyes. All right.
You can still smell the fear in the room.
Seriously. And then I walk out of there standing in the hallway towering over me. You know.
You're not that tall.
No, but... Anyway, we're here with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. So, 4 tickets, like you said, Stripperama?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, by the way, you know, I was listening to...
I'm trying to help you pimp, and you're just all laissez-faire about it.
Well, there's only 4 tickets left, and now they're probably sold already.
Bam! So. All right.
But, yeah, you know, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I was listening, you said something about, we'll get Jen Lane, and she'll bring a bus full of her gay friends. Not to say that I don't have gay friends, but it's not implied that I'm...
I didn't say that. Sarah?
I don't remember.
There's something about that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that you
Maybe
were...
Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Okay.
I was just... Yeah.
Were you like... Was this like... Are you like halfway through a peyote button bag
Maybe,
or something?
Yeah.
Or, no, I don't recall saying anything like that.
I was crippled by the exploits of 666.
If someone was going to show up with a bus full of gay friends, it would probably be you. But I'm just saying, it's just fine. Many of my best
That's
friends
That's what
are
your text
buses.
Message meant then. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So I'm gay. I'm like, what?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Really, and I mean that sincerely now.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious.
This is the end of the Rick Emerson Show for today. Thank God.
It's
been the weirdest I don't think we've actually accomplished anything today. Barflymag.com.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, is it Wednesdays?
Wednesdays at Spallas. Yeah, the cat house.
God bless her.
Me out.
All right. Jen Lane, without her, you've got nothing. So go to barflymag.com. Our thanks to Kristen Bowie, who is... here today trying to observe this radio program to learn all about the carefully crafted, meticulously scheduled, and running like a top every day of the week, Rick Emerson Show. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Emma McCarthy. We want to thank Sean Couples and the Roller Derby Girls and so forth. As always, the Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's leaving coin willingly, by the way. There's no need to boycott.
Don't be mad at them.
No need to be angry. News director Tim Riley. Like us next. World famous Phil Henry Show at 7. We'll see you in 21 hours. As always, do not let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.